looking out at the devastation. I'm still here. I'm here.
At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because Jesus Christ indeed is Lord. He remains above it all, and in Him we live and we move and we have our being. How you guys doing out there? How is it all going in your journey in this time as we continue to move past the old, broken, dark paradigm of what the world has been? As we continue to transition in a turbulent time, and we continue to ride this wave that God has for us, this wave of light that is coming in, that is streaming in. And, you know, as we continue to move forward in all of this, listen, this is not for the faint of heart. But remember also what God has told us. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me, is what God says. So that's why God told us early on, keep your eyes on Christ. You know, we got to recap a few of these things. Okay, so ride that wave. You know, we're riding the wave, so ride it. You know, don't be too far out because you're going to miss it. Don't be, if you're in too close, you're going to get crushed by it, which most of the world is going to get crushed by it because they're out of position. So ride that wave. Keep your eyes on Christ. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me. So you got to keep your eyes, your heart, your attention, your focus on Christ. There can be other things that will come up around you, and you can be aware of those things, but you can still move forward and not be distracted. There's a huge difference between the two. So you can be aware but not distracted from ultimately your place of focus, your place of peace. And ultimately that which is the source of your life, your direction, your vision, everything that you need. So now, you know, some of the other things that we were talking about recently when we did the 20 on 20 show with our buddy Zeph Daniel, who is just a wonderful brother in Christ, wonderful friend, just man of God that just loves God with all his heart and has been faithful, you know, to continue on in this work. Kanita is another one out there whose voice I've been listening to here and there, and a little bit more as time is going on, you know, because we try to catch up here and there because it feeds our spirits, all of us, you know. Then it's the Spirit of God that speaks through. But in this last time that we had a chat with Zeph, you know, some of the things that are important to keep in mind is. Your attention and your focus. You know, it took me some time in just my own life journey to understand a little bit more. See, the world wants to keep your attention and focus. They had such an issue with Jesus when he was walking on the earth because of the fact that he had everyone's attention. The Pharisees, when he was coming in Jerusalem, what did they say? Look and see how the whole world has gone after him. That was what they were mad about, because with that attention also, they were afraid to lose control. They were afraid to lose control over the people. They were afraid to lose control over the masses. And they were afraid because people hung on Jesus' every word. And so they wanted that attention. They wanted that focus. They wanted to be the expert. They wanted to be the guru. And they could not stand the fact that God was speaking to the people direct. They wanted to be the mediators between God and the people. Now, the truth of what we have today, right now, is that you can go directly to the throne of God, the very throne of God, speak directly with your Father who is in heaven. You can talk and you can communicate and you can share and he can minister straight to your spirit, straight to your soul. Why would you go any other way? And why would you believe somebody that would lie to you and try to take you another way? Here's the thing about attention too. When something has your attention, what does it do with it? See, when God has your attention, he's leading you in a path of life. He's leading you in a path of truth. He's ministering to your soul. You're growing because you're connected to the vine. All these amazing things are happening. So there is life that flows when God has your attention. That's the reason that even the faces of the angels are always directed towards the sun. That's, you know, if you've ever seen a field of sunflowers, and if you've ever driven by one of those, and depending on the time of day, the sunflowers, the reason they're called sunflowers, is the face of the flower will track with the sun as it goes across the sky. So as the sun starts on one side and goes across the other, then it will follow the sun. And it will always try to have its face towards the sun. Why? Because that's where its life comes from. That's where the flow comes from. That's where everything comes from. So the sunflower is there doing its thing, but it always has its face towards the sun. So when God has your attention, you're in a good place. When God does not have your attention, you're in a bad place. Because everything else is apart. What did God say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone that doesn't remain in the vine is like a branch that's broken off and withers and dies. So when the only thing left is for it to be tossed in the fire and burned. So now, why does the world seek to get your attention? Well, here's the thing: because there's life in you, because you are the child of God. So what it tries to do is it wants to get your attention so it can now siphon the life out of you. And there's something that happens on a spiritual dimension too, to extract and pull and suck life out of you necessary to build their system. So they need that to build their system. They need that to be able to build their world. If you remove your consent, if you withdraw your attention from them. So if you set your heart on things above, if you set your mind on things above, if you start doing those things, and if that starts to have your focus, well, now they don't have that power over you anymore. They don't have that power over you anymore, because in order to be able to shape your reality, they've got to have your attention to be able to do that. So when you, by your volition, by your free will, when you when you start taking it off of them and putting it on Christ, now there's nothing that they can do, because you have that power because the Holy Spirit is in you, and the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to put to death anything that's not like God, the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to be able to walk through this whole thing. When you start using that power and you start following that voice of the Spirit of the living God, and you start going with Him in and through all these different things, and God, it's just more and more He has your attention, your volition, your focus, all of those things. Now, their system, which is already dead, which needs to extract life out of you in order to keep functioning, now that thing is just, it's just tanking. And I think a big part of what we're going to see with the world falling apart is that a lot of these things in the world just will not have people's attention anymore. I mean, look at the dinosaur media, the old MSNBCs and CNNs. If you're in the U.S., I talk about these things. If you guys are overseas, it would probably be something else. But people are switching off. And so these news stories don't have the pull anymore. They don't have the ability to shape the narrative anymore. So they take an event and they would shape the narrative to try to get it, to push it towards a predetermined agenda. That's the way that it's always been. But now, as they're losing that ability because people aren't listening, and people now are maybe getting that shaping maybe from another source, or they're just seeing the facts and making a decision on their own of what they think about something. But either way, the old things are starting to dry up. What happens in a world like we live in right now, where people all of a sudden start having new systems and new ways of of storing value? If they create value. So creating value and storing value. So what happens when we start? We've been using a system of fiat currency globally that's been imposed upon people, that erodes people's value just by nature of participating in it. It's a sleight of hand. It's a trick. It's a deception. It's based on a entire just demonic theft. But what happens when that very system, when people just stop participating in it, or they start using something else? Now what? Now what? The system itself loses. It can't. It needs people to participate. It needs people to have faith in their thing. They've got to believe in it for it to keep working. You got to believe for it to work. And if you don't believe in it, if people don't believe in it, then it doesn't work. Because the creative power is within us, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. God's put it in us. And God, we've been made and fashioned in the image and the likeness of God. So we're able, by God's grace and God's design, to create while we're in this reality. And God uses us to create. So what happens when you start creating based on what God shows and what God gives you to do, rather than what the world would express is your lot in life? What happens when you get off the reservation? What happens when you are the inconvenient minority? Well, now, the typical, true-to-fashion way the world did it was they want to kill you. But what happens, because they flip out. That's what they want to do right away. If they can't seduce you in, they want to kill you outright, because they got to stop that light. They got to stop that from going forward and from anybody getting free. But what happens when they can't kill you? What happens when your voice gets, as it did with David, stronger and stronger, even as the house of Saul got weaker and weaker? What happens when that which... when you should have been wiped out and all of a sudden you are the ruler of the land? Or you're put in charge, because at that stage they need a solution and they know their own lives are at risk. Now what? But for us, brothers and sisters, here's the thing. Once you understand what the game is, then you change, you shift, you adjust so that you're not taken in that. Okay. Another one we talked about was, and we have a little time to get into these things today, power. The nature of power. Okay, so the way that the world has worked throughout time and throughout history is that the one with the greater power has imposed their will on the one with the lesser power. That's just how it is. That's how the world that we live in has always been. And so even in contracts, right, legal systems, right, well, the one with the greater power, so the only person that is supposed to abide, if we want to just talk straight here on this, the only one that's supposed to abide by the terms and conditions of a contract is the one with the lesser power. Because that's the one that can get squeezed. So when people want to enforce something, they're like, oh, see, here's the contract. See, then this is what we both signed. See? But then... check it out when the one with the greater power decides they don't like the terms and conditions of a contract. What do? They change it. Or they don't fulfill it. Or they'll stretch it out. Or they'll do whatever they feel like. Now, here's the thing. In the world, that is the world the way over. And that's why people in the world gravitate towards power. They want power. They want power because they can impose their will on someone else. They can get people to do what they want them to do. But here's the thing. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. So the child of God, because you've been ingrafted into the vine, the biggest player on the block is our Heavenly Father. He's the one that's above all. Now here's the thing, though, with God. So, one thing that God does, though, too, is when he puts something in place, even in the scriptures, it says that he has exalted his word even above his name. God puts, when he speaks, when he says something, when he puts something into motion, he will even abide by his own, what he has said, what he has spoken. Now, that's the truth of what it is that he's put in place. Not man's manipulations or man's contortionings and trying to twist things to make God try to fit their thing. No, you got to get on God's page. But once God's page, Once you're on his page, once he's put something in motion, he himself will abide by the very things that he has spoken and said. So when God said, look, I'm going to make this happen. It's going to happen. Oh my gosh. When God says something's going to happen, you know, heaven and earth may pass away. You know, his word, the truth of what he said is not going to pass away. So even here's the other thing too, is even, what did he tell us? You need that no man should teach you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will teach you and lead and guide you into all truth. So when you have that connection, when you have that link, now you know what God has said and what God has spoken. And that is what's solid and true. And that is in the realm of the Spirit. And the scriptures, the words, prophecies that are out there, all kinds of things, those are extensions. But his word is spirit. Those that worship the Lord worship him in spirit and in truth. So this is a different way. Now here's the thing about power. The greater power is in us. So the power that's in us, we can do exceedingly abundantly beyond, because the one we serve, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond and above all that we can ask or think. And so that's what happens in and through us, because we walk with him. The greater power is in us, but the world does not want you to move in that. See, if you start moving in the power that God has put in you, now they cannot control you, and they run a risk of losing an entire crop of people that they want to harvest. They can't have that. They can't have people turning on the power that's there and following God for themselves, because that power is there that can set you free. That power is there to liberate you from any situation. That power is there for God to give an instruction and for you to be able to walk it out, for you to be able to do it. There's a lot of things that people cannot do. When God gives you an instruction of something to do, he also accompanies it with the power to do it. So God would not instruct you to do something and not give you the power to do it. So when God told Moses, I want you to go back, I want you to set my people free, he did it. He gave him the instruction along with the power and along with the resource. And that, my friends, the world is incredibly terrified of. Because if God speaks something into and over your life, God will also empower you to be able to make that happen and to be able to walk that out. So that's why the world wants to keep your attention all the time, because if it can keep your attention and your focus, you're never going to stop and listen to the voice of God and start tracking with him and doing what it is that he told you to do. And it doesn't want you to move in the power of God, because the power of God is greater than their power. The power of God changes things. Brothers and sisters, when you pray, things change. When you pray, things change. When you pray, things get... Just listen, we've been just praying 20 minutes together once a month. And the whole world is being shaken in these last... What has it been? 15, 16 months, something like that. Have to go back and check. I don't engage in a lot of reflective thought these days. I just flow with God. I really try to, you know. Sometimes things come up, but yeah, as we've been praying, as God, and God moved us to pray. So God moved us to pray. We're praying. This is a growing number of you guys that are there with us. There was a lot of people praying live last time with us, and then it goes out onto the podcast, on the different forums, different places. It gets rebroadcast. People pray. People engage. Yeah. And God is answering. That's just 20 minutes once a month. Imagine if we shift into that thing of praying continually. All of us. With hearts and hearts dedicated to the Father, 100% complete. With eyes and ears attentive to his voice and eyes focused on him and being led and guided by him through this world. Imagine what happens then. Imagine what happens when you realize who you are, that you are not just a something to be kicked around in your time on the earth and just to sort of kind of slide into home base all beaten up and just kind of barely make it around. No, you are, put your shoulders back, pick your head up. You're a child of the living God. Destined for things in this life as well as in eternity. We're here for a reason. We weren't here just to get kicked around, all right? But you got to be willing to go with God. You got to be willing to go His way. And when you get frustrated, share those frustrations with Him. Pray. Seek His face. Be honest. God wants open and honest communication with you. He doesn't want some fake thing. O thou who flung the stars in the sky and placed the firmament. You know, come on, seriously. Just pray. Let it be real. I had to come through all that too because, hey, I was right there in the center of the whole church thing because I love God. And I thought that's what it was. And God was meeting me in the middle of that, by the way. God was meeting me in the middle of that in spite of the system. Not because of the system, but in spite of the system that was there because God saw the heart. So in the middle of all of that, God was meeting me and ministering to my spirit. And then when the time was right, God also showed me what it was, the trap that it was, and why there was a fulfillment even in what I was seeing of what Paul had warned about in Acts chapter 20. He said, look, once I'm out of the way, savage wolves are going to come in. They're going to scatter the flock. So I'm telling you as an individual, earnestly contend for the faith. I added that part as an individual to emphasize the point, because that's what happened. You got to fight for this thing as an individual, listening to God. And if God brings you together for a reason and a purpose and for a season, you'll do that as an assignment. But we don't hold or control anybody, because every person is under the leading and directing and guiding of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, so we encourage one another in the truth. We support each other in the things that God would put for us to do, but it's not a... no one is lording over someone else. Do you understand the difference? The world wants you to be lorded over by them, but we choose to move with the Father, and it makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. And God is good to His people. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Oh my gosh, when you have the Father with you, yeah, it's easy. I mean, it's not, it's simple. It's not easy. This can be a rough road sometimes, so I'll change that word. It's simple, but it may not be it. Easy as such. Although, I do think as we keep going, we've gotten stronger. We've gotten stronger in the journey. Just like if you're exercising, you get stronger. And so if something that might have been a difficult thing to do a year or two ago, if you persist and strength persists or efficiency or technique improves, you're able just to do so much more than you were before. So I do think there is kind of a little bit of a balance between those two. But God, it's simple. But I think also, too, when that happens as well, then the level of difficulty sometimes increases again as well, because we start moving into new challenges as God's taking us into those as well. So, power and attention. Another thing that we talked about was detachment. And now this is a principle that's going to help you guys a lot in what you're in the middle of. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And, you know, so here's something I kind of thought about recently. I've done work as a consultant before, and so often I would be able to just see everything so clearly for companies and individuals and organizations, and just, I could just see it clearly. It's all just mapped out. And they would share some things with me, they'd show me what they're doing, and I'd be able to really know, here's the steps, here's the ways to go forward, here's what to do. But when it would come to my own life, I would just get bogged down in a direction. I would get bogged down in being able to understand for myself. And I couldn't understand it for the longest time But something that God showed me recently is that nature of to be in the world and not of the world. You, brothers and sisters in Christ, now we're scripturally, you're seated in heavenly places. So the real you is an eternal being. So you're here in a temporal space. So if you, from that eternal perspective, was to instruct your character in this temporal space for this temporal window while you're passing through this reality, what would you instruct them with? How would you instruct them to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has spoken to you as you've come into this paradigm of time on earth and in the world but not of the world? What would your instructions be? And all of a sudden, when you start detaching and not taking things personal, we feel things. Yes, we do, and all that's still there. Yes, but how you can approach the very same thing. Listen, your approach to stuff in life can make a huge difference. You know, you can get two people that are going to the gym, and one can't wait to go there because they just enjoy it and they love it and they love the way that they feel when they get done. And you get another person that can't stand it and despises it. And they're going in there and they're just hating to do it, but they're doing it because of social pressures or they're doing it because, for whatever. But this is the same activity. And one person is enjoying themselves and the other person is not. Listen, you can have joy in this journey. But a big part of it too is also going to be how we respond to our time here. Now, listen, as soon as this, while I speak like this, the Spirit of God takes over and He speaks and flows through me. I recognized early on how God was doing this and how He wanted to use me for this specific thing. And you can go back, check the records. There's many years now that have been published. And for a window and a season of time, they're still available, so download what you can while it's possible, because like we've said, and we keep reminding you guys, we don't know how long this is going to be available, how long this stuff's even going to be out there. So, grab what you can while you can and what's going to be helpful and useful for you in the journey. And freely we receive and freely we give. So, we're just putting it out there for you. As a service to the body of Christ and a service to you guys. But, use it. And if one thing we do ask people to do, please pray for us. Please keep us in prayer because, we get a lot of kickback and a lot of attacks from the enemy. And, we're constantly on a war footing. We're constantly on a combat footing because we're in a spiritual war, fighting against a very vicious enemy that does not play fair. So we recognize that. We understand that. So, we do the thing that God has for us to do, but because that's what He's called us to do. But the greater power is in us so that we just continue to move forward in that. But while you approach this whole thing, detach out of it. You're here, you're in it, but you're not of it. You can be the observer and even see yourself in the situation and moving forward in this. Okay. And then the other one was praise. God inhabits the praises of His people. The victory is in the praise. You know what? When the children of Israel were led out of slavery, they sent the worshipers. The worshipers were right there. They were going ahead. They were worshiping God. They were writing songs unto God throughout that whole time. David was a worshiper. You go through the scriptures and you look and you see how many times that the battle, God would send the worshipers first. They were warrior poets in a lot of ways. They were just these incredible, that is a form of warfare. That is a form of warfare that should be part of your arsenal that you should be using. So praise God. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it can be tough because the enemy wants to pull those praises out of your mouth. The enemy wants to pull those things out of your mouth so that you don't speak praises unto God. So he will oppress you. He will fight you. He will try to do what he can to get you to speak curses over other people, and curses over even your own life. He'll try to get you to do that, because to make that creative power that's in you, to turn that against yourself and against those around you. But what does God want you to do? He wants you to praise Him despite whatever the circumstance or the situation may be. That, brothers and sisters, is what's going on in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas in the jail cell. And despite their external circumstance and situation, they were praising and worshiping God in the midnight hour. And what happened? The angel of the Lord came into that situation, shook the whole prison, and everyone's bands were loosed. All the prison doors opened up. Not just Paul and Silas's, by the way. This is an important point. When you worship and praise God, God won't just set you free. He'll set everyone that's around you free. And you notice that all those guys had the chance to run out and to leave. But they recognized there was more freedom in that moment, in that jail cell, than there was anywhere outside. So they were there. When the jailer woke up and was going to run himself through the sword, because the way that it worked under Roman law was if you were a jailer and you lost a prisoner, it would be your life for the prisoner's life. So they would kill you if you lost your prisoner. So they never lost their prisoners. Because if they lost their prisoners, they would die. So if they were the possibility of them losing their prisoner, they would just kill their prisoner. Because they could not afford to lose their prisoner, or they themselves would die. So when the jailer came forward and saw all the doors open, he was ready to kill himself, because he was like, everybody would have run away. In fact, he was pretty much a dead man at that point. Paul intervened and said, "Don't do it. We're all still here." So he called for lights, and they brought him in, and sure enough, everybody was still there. And he fell on his knees trembling, because you know why? The very man whose back he had ripped open had just spared his life. The very man who he had just hours before been destroying and his physical body, and had put him in a horrible place that night, is turning around and blessing him, sparing his life. That is something that only the Spirit of the living God inside of a person can do. Because the way that the world works is they want to bite and devour each other. So if somebody hurts me in the world, the way that the world works is you want to hurt them back. And you want them to suffer. And you want them to have pain because of what they did to you. And so now they've got to suffer. And they've got to hurt. And they've got... Listen. What did Jesus do and say on the cross? It is finished. It ends with me. See, when you're on the cross with Jesus, and you've gone through that, the thing that you also realize is, look, it's over. And the life that we now live is the life that we have in Christ Jesus. It's the resurrection life. All that stuff from before, it's dead. It died there. The need for vengeance died there. It's why God says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay." So you leave it with Him. Because even though when people have done stuff to us, here's the thing. They're doing it unto the Lord, because you are an ambassador of Christ in the earth. You are a representative of God. You've been grafted into the vine. You are an extension of Him in the earth. So there is no separation between you and God. That's why He says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay," because they're doing it to Him, not to you. So let it be. Pray, take it before the Father, because you are reporting back to Him. You are His ambassadors. You are His eyes and His ears. You're His hands, His feet in the earth, speaking the words and the truth of God. So do that. But leave it before Him and say, "Father, what would you have me to do?" Now, sometimes, though, too, this does not mean that you stick around and let yourself be a doormat. No, that's not it either. You know, God will many, 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 many times move you out of harm's way, move you into a different situation. And that also does not mean that you just sit there and take it. Because, listen, Jesus told those that were his at one point, if any man doesn't have a sword, sell his cloak and buy one. I want to hear that preached from a pulpit one day. So, there is a time and a space and a place for everything. But we're not soft targets. We're not. Now, whether we choose to use the power that God's given us is up to the direction of the living God, but the greater power is always with us. The power and the ability to do certain things is always with us. But you got to know what God's speaking so that you can stay in step with Him. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's an amazing time to be alive. So listen, recap. Keep your attention and your focus on the Lord. Listen, if you want to help the world system dry up fast, just don't give them your attention anymore. Pay them very little mind. I would say pay them no mind, but we're here. So just siphon off your attention from them and put it on the things of God and God's instructions and God's plan and purpose for you. And listen, you know what? I got to speak to this a little bit too. All these digital phones and tablets and computers kind of all crept in the back door. All of these things have, you know, come into our lives, and nobody told people how to have an off switch with this stuff. You know, when I was a kid, my parents would have a limit for us on how much TV we could watch. You know, we had a certain amount we could watch every day. And I can't remember if it was 30 minutes or an hour. It might have been an hour on the weekends and like 30 minutes during the week or something like that. But it kept us from spending all of our time in the house watching TV. And it kept us going out and playing games and meeting friends and doing things. But here's the thing with the ways that the TVs and the computers and the phones are, those things are there. They are there to interrupt your thought process continually. So here's what I'm going to tell you with that is pray and ask God for the right way to relate to these things. Some of them, if you relate to it the right way, these can be fantastic tools and entertaining and all the rest of it. And it can be something really good and healthy. But if you don't relate to it the right way, it is going to pull way too much mental thought process from you. And it's going to affect a lot of things that it shouldn't be affecting. Recently just had a camping trip up in northwestern Nebraska and in South Dakota. Amazing time. And so many of those places. Listen, all I had was my cell phone, and a lot of places there was no signal, and that was such a blessing. And I really didn't miss much. You know, whatever messages I needed to get, I would maybe get it the next couple days when we'd stop through a small town or something like that. It was wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to be unplugged. So just keep that in mind. So again, okay, attention, power. Remember the things about the power dynamic. And also be mindful of how you relate to other people. And once God has set you free, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So you can, that's the whole thing with Galatians. As soon as people get free, they want to bring you back under slavery all over again. But God can quicken you, and He can show you how to navigate through this world where you can keep the freedom that Christ has set you free into, and you can walk in that while you're here. The world hates that, but do it, because that is how you're going to enjoy this journey. Detachment was the third one, and the fourth one was praise. So we're in the world, but we're not of it. And God inhabits the praises of His people. So praise Him. All right, you guys. We love you. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. And just know that, listen, you're on an amazing thing. So ride that wave. All right? keep your eyes on Christ. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.